Never thought I'd say this, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Marto's ass on Monday.
Yeah, depends what's been added to it. You will find out, Robin, that he's got. If the Brisbane Lions team win, the women's team in the AFL, then he has to get a tattoo of their emblem, which is also the Lions emblem, on his butt cheek to go with the Gold Coast Suns one he's already got, which is another long story, but you'll hear how that came about today on the
What exercise, just if I need to trim my bum over the weekend?
Squats.
Squats?
Yeah.
Lunges, that
lunges,
sort of thing.
Love a good lunge.
And a shave down. Yeah. And an oil up.
on behalf of me, yes, please. Yeah. Also, Teenage Multipliers. It's my son's birthday and found out about the Gatho. Just be warning of the numbers, really.
It's going to be a Worthington type situation.
Comedian Will Anderson calling through as well. A huge show. Enjoy it. We'll catch you tomorrow.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch up for the new fragrance, Diesel Bad. Available now at Chemist Warehouse.
Okay, on the way into work this morning, I was listening to Luke Boner, who does our night shift on Triple M. Really kind of interesting because he gets all these random people from all over the country talking about weird stuff. But he had this employment bloke on this morning talking about people being discriminated against for tattoos and how they can lose out on work. This is what was said.
You can't discriminate against tattoos if it's a judgment call. But what can happen, though, is some companies will have a dress code where they can say, we will not employ people who have tattoos. So as long as that's the standard from the employer, then they cannot employ you. But if you go to a job interview and you think you were not employed because the person interviewing you made a judgment call rather than a company policy, that is discrimination. But if the company policy stipulates no tattoos or piercings that are visible, then it's not discrimination and they can choose not to employ you for that reason.
Isn't it lucky the NRL doesn't have such a policy?
No.
In fact, no, any sporting people. But I think it's an interesting question about, because, you know, tattoos now, what, every second, third person has a tattoo?
I think I saw a cop the other day with a tat, with arm tat.
You see cops, you see police now, and the first time I saw it, mate, I remember thinking, oh, okay, that's okay, is it? Not like it shouldn't be, just, oh, okay. I didn't know that was...
They must have had to loosen their protocols, I reckon, because people were going, you can't discriminate against me.
Well, I reckon they've been so desperate for police, particularly in Queensland, that now recruiting, they're not going to make them take them off. They can't. So they're saying, okay, well, if you've already got them, there might be a policy of stopping them having them once you're in the force. But look, in this room, there are four of us. Brenda and I've got them. You two don't, do you?
Yes, he does.
Hang on. Yes, he does.
Yes, you do. Ooh. Oh, you do.
Well, it's a footy team thing.
It's on the cheek. Yeah,
you've got the Gold Coast Suns logo on his ass. He's got his Gold Coast Suns logo on his ass.
Despite being a Lions fan, and that's where it all started.
Okay.
You should get the. You should have to get the.
1 year the they'll win the grand final.
Actually,
and
actually, if the women's team wins the grand final, the women's AFL, will you get the women's Brisbane Lions logo on the other cheek?
No, I don't get it.
Oh, will you?
Oh, yes!
Oh my God, that seems like
Greg
a guess.
Martin, come on.
Let's get back to what we were talking about. I'm not getting another tattoo. That happened, and I learned a very good lesson.
The cheek's feeling a little lonely.
No, it doesn't feel a bit lonely.
I'm sorry,
it's got a lot of hair on it.
I'm changing
having a little
what we're
hair
doing.
Party. It's okay.
If you think Marto should get the Brisbane Lions women's logo on his other cheek.
What is their logo?
If they win the grand final, then call us 1-3-3. Let's do a phone poll. 1-3-3-5-3.
No. Let's discuss this first. What am I going to get? The lion with his foot on the footy.
The emblem, the crest.
1-3-3-5-3. We can get the weight of Brisbane behind this, Marto.
No. Just push on. What were we really going to talk
about?
That
other cheek is looking awfully lonely.
No, the hair needs something to look at.
Grown men do not need extra tattoos.
If you think
you shouldn't be getting tattoos when you're over 50. That's the bottom line.
If you think Marto should, as a way of... Because to be honest, it has to... You know, I've been the similar way. To be honest, we have been somewhat reluctant to trumpet this as loudly as other places have when there are lots of other women's sports that haven't been getting the same
sort
of coverage.
Our netballers are world-class athletes. Our AFL footballers are a pack of dribblers.
Oh,
okay.
Marto, you're digging yourself. No.
Our Brisbane Lions women are the best of a bad bunch of dribblers. It's the first year. Can we get off all this nonsense about this AFL game? Men's AFL is fair dinkum. Women's is not. Barely. Women's netball is primo, the best athletes in the world, our netballers, and I feel they're getting overshadowed because everyone wants to get on a rubbish bandwagon. In a few years' time, it might be worthwhile.
I thought we were going to talk tattoos. Now
you've been dribbling.
You're just ranting. So no worries. We're going to get a whole lot of people who want to talk to you about getting a tat on your other butt cheek.
Everyone's got to remember that the women's sevens rugby team won a gold medal at the Olympics.
Thank you.
And basically haven't been heard of since. That's what first got him started, Robin.
Well,
our women's netballers, I am so appreciative of. They are world class. They're world champions. They are the best. Yeah. Yet nobody wants to pay any attention to them.
We know.
Ed Cavalier, you came up with a genius idea.
Well, look, he's revealed that he's got a Gold Coast Suns tattoo on one of his bottom cheeks for various radio reasons.
That was the first ever Q clash, like back in, and the Sun and the Gold Coast Suns all week have been talking it up, going, "We're going to do the Lions." And I went, "Oh, turn it up. If they do the Lions, I'll get one." And I had to go through with it.
Is there photos of it anywhere?
Listen,
here
you
go. Oh, God, he's going to show me.
But the thing is, the good thing is, do you know what their emblem is? It's GC. My name's Greg, my wife's name's Kath, so it all worked out fine.
Okay, he's going to show me.
Yeah, it's only a little one.
Hey, buddy. Okay, I'll take a photo of that and we'll post it somewhere.
So the question remains now, should he have to get a Brisbane Lions tattoo if the women's tattoo? Well, because it's a first, and whenever they do a first thing really well, you get a tat. Mick is, should he get a Brisbane Lions tattoo?
Aren't they?
Yes.
They're
Mick.
Undefeated.
Mick. Hi, what do you reckon?
You got to turn it up, Marto. I reckon you're going to get the tattoo on your whole cheek.
Oh.
Look, the women's Lions team will be the only Brisbane side that'll be in the grand final and win it this year.
That's a good point, Mick. We didn't even the Sheffield Shield we couldn't make. That is an excellent point, Mick. Thank you. So, Mick, is Mick's a yes? Liz is from Rochdale. Liz, should he get the tattoo?
I agree with Mick. Absolutely. Yeah. He should definitely get it. And it's on your ass. It doesn't matter. You're not going to see it.
Still pain.
It does wear a lot of
G-strings. You're planning on hanging your butt outside of a bus or something.
Well, I'm not too old for a fresh tan, Liz. Okay. Now, Liz, are you going to the grand final? Are you that passionate about it?
No, I'm a league girl myself, but I'm always there for any women's sport that gets up there and needs there a bit of promo. Okay.
Good on you, Liz.
Well done, Liz.
Okay. Gary. Gary's from Kelvin Grove. Gary's a sensible individual, aren't you, Gary? You're sensible, aren't you?
Oh, God, you know me so well, don't you? Yeah.
Exactly. Do you reckon he should get the tat, Gaz?
For sure. Definitely. Firstly, it'll show his commitment to this show. Mm-hmm. Secondly, to women's sport. And thirdly, the best laugh I've had in a while.
Yeah, so there you go.
We've done the third option, seriously.
Well, you want to do it with me, Gary?
Hell no.
Bring Gary into this.
I'm not an idiot.
Is anyone over 50 that's got getting tattoos these days?
Yeah, you, Greg Martin.
No, no, no. Anyone else? It's probably bad.
Oh, here we go. My goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Play the trumpet. That means it's official Queensland ambassador, former Brisbane Lion champion, and now I think he's the women's defence coach, and they're undefeated, so it's all down to you. Dan Merritt, good morning.
Good morning, team. How are we doing?
We're a grand finals one, Dan, in defence, aren't they?
That's right.
Now, you've heard this, so if you've been listening this morning, the offer is as follows, that if the Lions women's team win the grand final, that Marto's going to get their emblem tattooed on his ass. What do you think, Dan?
Mate, great to hear you getting on board, Marto.
hey, mate.
I'm all for it.
Have you got a lion anywhere on your body? I know you've got the bluebirds on your chest.
No, I don't.
Well, it's time. No, you and I together. Ooh. I'll do it if Dan Merritt does.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Righto, mate.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes, mate.
All right.
Boom!
All right. If you can get the girls over the line, I will admit that I love women's sport. It's just I don't reckon that, anyway, I won't say that. If the women win, I'm with Dan.
Oh, a double cheeker.
Dan, you'll have to come in on Monday. Like, we will have a tattoo artist in here and we will be getting where on your body would you like it?
Nice cheek. No, it's cheeks. Double cheek.
Oh, he doesn't even get a choice. No. Okay, and can I just check, is the emblem the same as the blokes?
It is the same.
Is it
all for one?
Would we get the side on lion with his foot on the ball or the front on face lion?
No, side. The one on the jersey.
No, like the side one.
Yeah, side line.
Sorry one.
That's fantastic. And you know what? As a show of solidarity, I'm going to get the South Queensland Crushers logo on my scrotum.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Nothing better than a puffing billy down that area. Remember the steam train they used to? That's their emblem, wasn't it?
Hey, thank you, Dan Merritt.
What are you getting, Robert?
No, I'm not getting anything. But so, Dan, come Monday morning, you'll be in here with the...
Fantastic. Mad Monday, though.
Yeah, not for me, mate. I'm a coach.
Yeah.
Stay out of there.
Listen to you.
Oh, Lord, it's going to happen.
Monday morning.
Monday morning.
Crossed that I am coming in the studio.
You both get lion tattoos.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm very interested in this women's grand final. 9 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
No one thought this was going to happen when we woke up this morning, but God, I'm glad it has.
Written on the sheet in front of me, we were supposed to be talking about when our tattoos worked against you.
Yeah, who cares about the sheet?
Things changed, mate.
Was just Move genius in his, you know, spontaneity. Love it.
6:48 Go the women's Lions team.
The whole of Brisbane
who
needs to get
The Crows.
Yeah, Crows are no hope.
Ah,
like
Crows.
Marto is. The new Triple M.
Guys, there's plenty of Will Anderson around if you want to catch the great man because you can go to comedy.com.au at the moment because his tour, Critically Will, is hitting Brisbane very shortly. And then, if you want some more Will Anderson in your life, One Night Stand. Stan, the subscription service, has got themselves together and they put together some stand-up specials from some of Australia's best comedians and I get confused. Will Anderson, what's the name of the one that's on Stan and what's the name of the one that you're touring at the moment?
Yeah, you're right, Ed. I never really thought about how confusing the names of my shows were until I had to plug them all at the same time. So, so the show on Stan is called Fire at Will. It's my old show. So basically the deal is if you don't like leaving the house, you can watch my old show on Stan. And if you like leaving the house, come and watch my new show live.
Have you almost run out of names? Have you done Willful Exposure or Willennium? Have you used them yet?
I mean, it's weird that you've gone for Willful Exposure first, Marto.
Yes.
I mean, it feels like that was if this was some sort of test in a psychologist's office, the fact that you've gone with Willful Exposure as your first choice.
Thank you.
And what's the next one? Willful Misconduct. And what's your next one? Wilf. And what's your next one? F. Mary Will. Hang on, what? There's a pattern here.
Yes, there is. Well done, Mr. Anderson. You've got him sus because he's been wandering around the studio before you come on going, has he done Willful Exposure? Has he done Willful Exposure? I'm like, I don't know, mate.
Shut up.
Ask him.
Well, I mean, I guess as a former Willoughby, you get it, mate.
Yeah.
Do you remember the names of all your old shows?
No, I've done 22, Robin, I wouldn't be able to name them all. I can name most of them, but I don't think I'd be able to name them all in a row. But I've got about another 50 left on a list, so I'm certainly going to run out of shows well before I run out of shows, I'd say.
Yes,
the last two will be Terminally Will and Last Will and Testament, and then I'll be done.
So what's this one going to be about? What can we expect from you this time, Will, the live one?
Well, look at Critically Will, what I really wanted to do was write a show that was all about the world that we live in now, you know, this post-truth alternative fact world. But I think people are sick of actually, you know, the T word, Voldemort, as I like to think of it, who should not be named. Yeah. And so the entire show is kind of about all that, about me living in the US and here and, you know, what the state of the world is. But I never mention any politicians' names in the show and I certainly never mentioned the T word in the entire show. So that was kind of the aim of the show, to talk about the issues rather than talk about the personalities.
Yeah, right. That's a good idea, Will, because you know what it's like on Twitter or anywhere that you go at the moment, it's just a barrage. People think that their one tweet about the president's going to bring down the whole regime. And you're just like, guys, just... What happened to jokes, Will? It seems like jokes have disappeared for a while.
Yeah, Ed, I agree. I agree with you, mate. And look, you know, come on. If Meryl Streep's speeches can't bring him down, how are your tweets? That's what you've got to think. I mean, she made a couple of really good speeches, and it still seems to be going how it was. So if Meryl can't bring them down with the power of acting, then you can't probably bring them down with the power of tweeting.
Hey, Will, on that, both Ed and Marto think Meryl Streep is overrated. I do not.
Not into Meryl, mate. Not into Meryl.
What do you reckon?
Mate, well, this is the great thing. This is how good she is. 3 days a week, Meryl Streep plays Marto in your show. You guys don't even know. That's how good an actress she is.
And the other 2 days, she's the cash cow. She's quite incredible.
she just loves the work, Ed. That's the thing.
That's right,
loves
mate.
The work.
She's all about the work. And so are you. Will Anderson, one of the hardest working and best Australian comedians. He's just been going so hard for so long and doing a great job. So One Night Stand, March 24, that's on Stan. And then comedy.com.au. Go and see Critically Will when he hits Brisbane for the live show.
Is that Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights? I think he's on at the Powerhouse.
The great Will Anderson. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Thank you very much, guys.
Now, this morning in the studio, you boys have borne witness to some of my family traditions as it's my eldest son's 17th birthday today.
It was happy and sad. Yeah, that you couldn't be there for his 17th birthday when
he
woke up.
Well, I was on Skype and we do a thing called Wake Up Cake where the other boys have to get up earlier than the said birthday kid and wake him with a birthday cake while singing happy birthday, which was really cute when they were two. Mm. I'm not quite sure at 17 no. he was overly stoked.
Ed, we witnessed the reluctance. they were being forced to do it by you.
Well, I just last night we had the conversation and I just said we've done it every single year for all of your birthdays, and I do reckon my 17-year-old was secretly happy that he still had vanilla cake homemade by me for breakfast this morning. But that's not the thing I
want to
talk about.
They're all looking forward to the Easter BUNNY too, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. Do you think I should still do the paw prints and the flag?
Okay. Let it go.
That's cute.
Okay, here's my question. Because Mr. 17-year-old, who's in year 12, his name is Finn, he wants to have a gatho.
Did he want to have a party or did he say gatho?
No, he said gatho and gatho. Mm. And I've only learnt that terminology for those of you who don't have children of this age group. It's not a party if it's under about 30 and it's called a gathering. And I'm just curious because I'm not overly confident with this sort of stuff on my own. So I immediately rang his godfather who lives in Sydney. I went, Dash, you are coming up here to help me out.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to get from you, probably Mardo would have the most experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Oh, God, yeah.
About gathos. Because he's saying to me that he only wants a few friends.
Mm.
Now, in my mind, I immediately think a few is probably 10. But is that actually, because you hear all these horror stories of, you know, it goes out on Facebook and 400 people turn up.
There's a special mathematical equation. Now, they're extraordinary cases, the 300 and the riots and all that. Don't be too concerned. I haven't had too many of the, I haven't had any
too
of those.
Many of those.
But I tell you what, the word gather was invented to pull the wool over our eyes because they're parties. Ah. Because Ted, if he said, did he, how many did he actually say?
He said about, he said...
No, don't know about. He said, you, because you got to be sure.
Yeah, I was pushing on this. And his friends are really cool. Like, I know most of them, so they're not, you know, outrageous kids. So he said about between 10 to 15.
Right, they're not the ones that'll cause the trouble. It'll be the other, the carry on. I would say that's easily 36 minimum, Ed. We've had this discussion to 40. It depends on the kid.
Yeah, it's called the teenage multiplier. My brother-in-law is 18, and he just got caught. Asking my mother-in-law, hey, could I have just a small gather of 10 mates? And 10 mates turned into, I think it was 35.
10 mates
multiplier.
It equals about 15, because you need 15 girls, otherwise she's a sausage fest. And then and then there's another few blokes. So if you don't, I reckon it's a amount of 3 times.
What?
So 12 will equal 36.
No.
That's what you'll end up with. Oh, well, don't know me. This is what will happen. Well, you ask everyone else. Yeah, ask anyone else. I swear I've been doing this since the kids were 15 and I've now got 17 and 18-year-old and they've been gathering and gathering and gathering.
So what happened at the gathos?
A party of 40 is 100.
No.
Good Lord.
Well, yes, it is.
I can't do that. Hmm. So if he says 40, then I have to take it back to 15.
To zero.
Yeah, but that's not going
to
happen.
To two. A one-on-one, you'll
Your
end
brothers
up with
can
to
come.
10. Yes.
There's your gather.
Oh, now listen, there's the other one. When they've got younger brothers, like he's got a 15-year-old brother.
Mm.
All right. Four of his mates will log along.
No, no.
And they'll be...
No, no.
Oh,
no. Stop talking.
Ask everyone about the numbers, because there's a few other things to discuss about teenage parties, but the multiplying effect is quite incredible.
Teenage multiplier, Shona of Ben Lee. Tell me what happened.
Hello. Well, my son went to Scotland about 4 weeks ago and he had a small gathering before he left. There was about 30, 17-year-olds, but they just ate me out of house and home, brought their own grog, and we decided to get a karaoke machine, which was met with, oh, Mom, that's so lame.
Yeah.
But we had to really drag them off of that at 11:30 so the neighbours could sleep. So it's fine, Robin. Oh. You know, you've brought them up well. They're going to be really good. They're good kids.
I do like the idea of a karaoke machine. Maybe if you occupy them. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, God, you know what I'm talking.
Neville of Ipswich, what do you reckon about a gatho?
Look, Robin, my son has them all the time. He's had at least 15. Usually there's 15 kids show up. And sometimes I say to him, how many people show up? And he goes, 12. And I'm disappointed. You know,
not enough.
And look, you've got to let them go, Robin. These guys are having a lend to you, seriously. You know, let the kids go. Have faith in how you brought them up.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay. No, yeah. No. I'm loving you talking, Neville.
Okay.
But Marto's pulling a face.
Neville, have a listen to this one. Connor from Windsor. Connor. Is Connor there?
Just not a teenager anymore, so I've just turned 20. If there's 10, definitely 30 coming from my experience.
Yeah, it's a
and
multiple.
You've got to hide the tables. Yeah. If you look up on Facebook, the table breaking club, you'll see what I mean. Hide the tables, but let them have fun at the same time. You can't be a mother bird.
What does that mean? Don't be a mother bird. Okay, I'll try not doing that for a night. What's a table? What do you mean?
There's a club on Facebook, he's saying, called the Table Breaking Club. And look, Connor, I'm not a detective, but I'm pretty sure I can work out what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah, so hide the tables because all the bad boys are going to push the table out and there's going to be one coming off the roof going straight through it.
No, there's not.
Let them have fun, though.
Yeah, Connor loves it. Hey, Connor, you know how the girls are the biggest hiders of alcohol. Whenever we have a gather, when I'm mowing the next time, I find about 4 bottles of vodka in hedges. Have you ever seen that happen? And in trees and stuff?
Oh, yeah, because they bring the handbags. They can smuggle anything they want. No one's going to look in the girl's handbag.
No one ever does.
Where do boys put it, then? Where do boys put it, Connor?
Well, they try to wear a backpack.
In the
John from Red Hill, you've heard us talking about the teenage multiplier with gathos. What is your experience?
My daughter wanted a party. She wanted 30. I wasn't paying that much attention. We're on the way to school Wednesday morning. I hear there's 100 coming. Oh. I get home that night. I see a list of 150.
Oh, my God.
And I say to her, how did you invite them? She said, Instagram or Snapchat or one of those. I said, right, start uninviting them right now. Party's off. That was that. I cannot imagine. Anyway, what we did is I said to her and her brother, you can have 5 friends each on Saturday night, private party, and that was all fine. And I've got to tell you, those 10 kids made enough noise that 150 would have scared the hell out of me.
All right, John, so there you go. The teenage multiplier in effect. 5. It started at 10 and it ended up, it could have been over 150.
Oh, my God.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Here comes Matt from Fitzgibbon. What do you know about the teenage multiplier, Matt?
Oh, it's very real, very real, Ed. When I was a young fella, not so young now, but we organised a party at a local AFL field for about 30 of us, and about 300 showed up.
Outstanding. How'd it go, Jack? Top 9?
As you can imagine, not real well. I reckon there was every police officer in town showed up to try and clear it out.
How'd the tables? None broken?
All of them.
Can you stop just like asking him like this is a normal thing? That is not a normal thing. Did it make the news?
Made the front page of the paper.
Well played.
See? Did anyone get arrested? Did anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 300 kids all underage. Absolutely. Yeah. Every table.
Stop there, Matt. You're going to incriminate yourself.
I can't think this is okay.
Thanks for the call, Matt. That's lovely.
Finally.
Don't leave your tables out. You know that's quite clear. Who we got?
This is Denise from Narangbar. We are educating Robin about the teenage multiplier. Denise, what do you know about it?
Well, about 17 years ago, my daughter decided she was going to have a couple of girlfriends over to watch movies while I went out for the night, and I told her that I might not be home, depending where I was and what was happening.
Well, lively.
But, she was well-trusted. Everything was good. Had the 3 or 4 coming over. I just happened to get crook while I was out at night, decided to come home, and there was about 35 of them, and they were everywhere. They were in my house, in my swimming pool, bed. In the backyard.
You've got to watch the bed today.
Well, no, luckily. They were everywhere in the house, and I probably knew about a dozen of them. And as soon as the boys saw me, they just took off and hopped the back fence and ran like anything.
Courageous.
But the good thing was that the daughter, she actually ended up in tears and said, Mum, thank God you come home. I just couldn't control it. She said they just turned up from everywhere.
So. Oh, hold on. She's got you wired, Denise.
So I'd suggest probably hiring the biggest bikies you can for bouncers, and you should be pretty right then.
Okay. Thanks, Denise.
How'd the tables go, Denise?
Yeah, well, there was just mess everywhere. The house looked like a bomb had hit it, you know, and I'd left it nice and spotless, and I thought, you're kidding me, aren't you?
Thanks, Denise.
Okay.
Bye.
No worries.
Can I say about now, but he's a really good boy, and I know all his friends, and they're lovely.
Yeah, right. Sure. So those ones you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the ones, the extended group of friends. They're the ones you have to watch. When you know things are bad, like if Marto's kids find out about it, that's when it's bad. That's when you know it's going to go. It's
Moose
going loose.
And Bear will be there. Moose will come.
Macca, no tables left.
Jonesy will be there.
Marto, Ed and Robin. The new Triple M.
Terror attack in London. Well, they're calling it a terror attack in London outside the Houses of Parliament as somebody tried to mow down pedestrians and then slam into the gates. around Westminster. And our UK correspondent, Peter Anderson, joins us on the line right now. Peter, what do we know so far? What have they confirmed?
Good morning to you. This was an attack on the very heart of London, and the confirmation we have so far is that four people died. They included a police officer who was stabbed at the scene and two pedestrians who were rammed by the vehicle as it crossed Westminster Bridge in the centre of London. The fourth person who died, we understand, was the attacker himself, who was shot by police. This incident took place mid-afternoon here in the UK when a vehicle drove across Westminster Bridge in the direction of Parliament. It wove around the road, hitting pedestrians, cyclists, some of them desperately jumping over the sides into the Thames in a bid to escape. Oh. We understand, though, that at least 20 people were injured, as well as those people who have died, and some of them are said to have catastrophic wounds. And after the car went across the Thames, it collided with the front of Parliament, the railings there, and it was at that stage that the police officer, who was on duty outside Parliament, was stabbed by the attacker.
Pete, what do we know about the attacker?
Very little at this stage. We haven't had any name or identification. A lot of people, media organisations, have been analysing the photos that were taken. It showed the man with bullet wounds to the chest and lower abdomen. It is being said that he appears middle-aged. It appears that he is potentially of Asian descent, but that has not been confirmed by the authorities themselves. But a lot of the focus at this stage is on clarifying whether he was acting alone. One of the priorities this evening here in the UK has been a search, a meticulous search of Parliament, to make sure that there wasn't another attacker who had got into the building itself. And one of the lines that they are looking at is whether any other suspects were involved in this. And our Prime Minister, Theresa May, is currently chairing an emergency meeting of ministers, security agencies and emergency services to discuss the situation and the high alert that the UK is in.
Hey, Pete, how come the guy can come across the bridge mowing down pedestrians, then he smashes into the front of Parliament House? How did he get to stab a policeman after exiting the vehicle?
Well, that's the bizarre thing. And obviously there are echoes here of some recent attacks. For example, the attack in Nice last year, where a lorry was driven through crowds of people along the seafront. On this occasion, anyone who knows the centre of London will know that the outside of Parliament is very, very rigorously policed.
Yeah.
There are concrete blocks to stop people getting there. This guy, though, he collided with railings and at that stage managed to get inside the main perimeter.
Oh.
Questions will be asked how he did that.
So is it more likely that more people will die?
We have had confirmation from the local hospitals and from emergency services. In their words, that a number of the people, at least 20 injured, as I said, a number of the people have life-changing injuries. In the words of one doctor, catastrophic wounds. One hates to be pessimistic here, but the reality could mean that the death toll will rise over the coming hours. And at the moment, the security operations mean that the centre of London remains in lockdown, but a lot of focus on the hospitals and saving as many of those people who've been caught up in this as possible.
All right, Peter Anderson, our UK correspondent. Thanks for your time this morning. More updates as they come to hand about this attack that's taken place in London. Thank you, Peter. No doubt, Robin, then you've brought it to our attention that Married at First Sight is a runaway success for Channel 9. I've reported this exclusively the other week that they've had, it looks like, over 10,000 applications to be the next, be part of the next series.
That's another year away. That's pessimistic that you're not going to meet someone before then.
Yeah, but their odds are pretty good. Like, there's potentially three or four couples that have already said they're going to stay together, you know. They may have found eternal love.
Because they just want to be on TV.
Well, I was going with the more romantic angle, but yes.
But it's interesting you bring up they want to be on TV, Marto, because what happens when something goes well on TV? Then there's a number of copycat shows, and at the moment we know that the dominant genre is romance. Yeah. Marto, you keep waiting for renovations to come
back. I don't like that one either.
But it's going to be a while now, because another exclusive here. I've got my hands on Channel 9's new slate.
Oh, God,
boundary-pushing romance programs.
Well, see, the next one, The Last Resort, they started advertising.
Oh, no,
they've got a whole heap of them.
That is the tip of the iceberg, my friend.
If you love Married at First Sight, then there's probably something very wrong with you. But keep it locked to your home of risky romance TV, Channel 9. for our all-new lineup of shows that push love to the limit. Monday, it's Stefanovic's Midnight Tinder Swipes.
Oh, God, there's another one. Oh, God, yep. Oh, yeah, all. Swipe them all.
Tuesday morning, the Today Show is live from the set of Mercedes Corby at First Sight.
If you dump me, I will bite you.
Wednesday, it's double episodes of Temporary Backpacker Love.
Hey, Olga, do you want some goon?
Oh, what a gentleman. Just pour it on my fun hat.
Oh, sweet.
Thursday nights, it's all new. Bo Ryan begs for forgiveness.
I'm sorry for everything. Sorry.
Friday nights, David Attenborough narrates moronic Aussies versus Crocs.
He's had 10 cups of goon. He's trying to lay with a backpacker. He's in the drink and...
Yes, it's got his arm.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
Yeah, I do.
What's your response to that?
I'm not really. I'm just, I don't know, trying to prove a point.
The point is, he's an idiot. Saturday night, it's party night when we go live to the A Current Affair Dole Bludgers Disco.
I was singing, I'm gone. Swam back to the stairs with one floppy arm and pulled myself out.
That's all coming up on your home of romance, Channel 9.
The new You're Triple M. Awesome.
Robin, how often do you hear me talk about music and try to get stuff on the air?
I can safely say I don't think I've ever heard
Ed,
you try
have
and
I
talk
ever?
About music no, and try mate, and get don't. Stuff
I've never,
on.
Brendo. Never. Brendo. Never. All right.
You're not
for the
that
first
guy.
First time in my radio career, I want to get a song on radio that must be played.
Mm. Why?
Because it represents such a large part of my community, our community, and it's for people that are fair dinkum.
It's big size.
Are we allowed? Well, we've got to do it before six because it's got a country feel to it, okay. And it won't be allowed. Without any further ado, to all tradesmen and women who are driving to work right now, we finally, for the first time in history, have a song that's dedicated to all of us hardworking tradespeople. It's just called That's a Tradie. Anyone heard of Tanya Kernaghan?
Yes,
her name is? I just
Lee
seen
Kernaghan's
a photo of her.
Sister.
Oh, Lee Kernaghan's sister.
As in
she's
former
a sexy
Australian
looking
of the year.
Girl. But without any further ado, play the first part of it.
Okay.
The paint and dust.
Listen to the words.
A hard day's work is the life he loves.
She loves the tradesman.
Chipping away, making dreams come true. He's got a dog and a ute and a job to do. And he looks so good.
This is a good bit. How good is he?
He's got all the right tools and he'll drive you a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to build his tent, a real DIY man. He holds my heart in his hard-working hands. He knows how to treat a lady. That's a tradie.
What about it?
Your theme song, Matto.
There's more. There is more.
Is
but
there?
Have you ever, I don't know whether she's married. I probably should have looked it up. If she's married to tradie or something. What do you think, Ed, so far? I've got more.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's not over.
Oh, good.
Go again. Oh,
hang on, is this the...
Hey, girls.
This is the chorus.
If that's... you want to be grinning like
no, have a listen.
Me.
It's the words. The words are magic.
Bit. Okay, what about this bit? Hang on.
In the drive around knock-off time.
Ah. It's great.
Knock-off time, that's
right. His boots at the door. He's all mine.
I'm just thankful there's another verse.
And with a sweet kiss, he takes me in his arms.
What a feeling.
Even though he's up at the crack of dawn, he never lets me down when the blinds are drawn. Hey, girl.
Oh, hold on, stop there. Okay. Did you hear that?
I knew she'd do that. I was waiting. I was like, all right, when are we going to allude to
it? I wonder
she drinks
grinning.
A can of mother and he's got too many tats.
Best. Motto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Oh, we've covered so many categories in the Best of Brisbane, and this week it's probably the fastest growing thing in the food industry is the weekend breakfast. And, God, we had some nominations for places. Rob, can you go through some of the... I've been to that, went the other day and researched to the Little Nook Cafe at Audley. $9.50. for two pieces of sourdough, avocado, and the most beautiful. Poached eggs with mushrooms.
Wow.
It was sensational. Only a little place, but they're going okay. What else
you got? Yeah, they've got about 3%. They could do better. Taste Buds Deli and Cafe in Kashmir, 30%. They're doing very well.
Whoa.
Jam Pantry at Greenslopes, you better get a wriggle on too, 1%. Flying Nun Cafe at Sanford, 20%.
New
Bliss
good.
Cafe in the Valley, 13%. But we've got Kylie from a whiskey business at Kapalaba, who is the owner and operator. Hey, Kylie.
Good morning.
Kylie, I don't know, you're on 5% of the vote, but you had more nominations for your place than any other joint in Brisbane.
We're a bit slow. We only realised last night that we're supposed to vote.
Oh, yes,
Kylie. Switch on.
Vote.
Come on,
we were just tagging.
Do you guys remember Kylie's joint? You do all the Canadian maples and your maple syrup and pancakes and all that sort of gear, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you breakfast midweek or is it only a weekend fair?
No, we're open 6 days. So we're closed on Tuesdays, but we run an all day breakfast and a brunch menu as well every other day.
I'm on the menu right now, Kylie.
Oh, I got it.
At the Canadian breakfast and then the huevos rancheros, which is sriracha marinated sirloin, a fried egg, spicy beans, tortillas, sour cream, jalapenos.
What is that? That's the Mexican truck driver's breakfast.
It's a big seller on a Sunday.
What is your biggest seller? What's the thing that people just keep coming back for?
Oh, absolutely, the Canadian breakfast is a huge seller for us. Aside from that, we're also a macaron shop, so a lot of people come here. We make macarons fresh on site every day, and a lot of people come here for them too.
All right, Kylie, dog and kid policy, what do you do to separate them from humans?
Dogs and kids are most welcome. We have games available for the kids to play.
Lovely.
Fresh bowls of water for the doggies and a nice place to sit.
Okay, Kylie, you've heard it from us. You have to vote. So get these people who are loving you so much, loving you sick, to get on and vote at triplem.com.au.
Absolutely. Will do.
I'm just looking at the...
And if you
what have you found?
If you want to send any Brecky and Kylie, go right ahead. I can't be
What have you found, Ed?
I'm just looking at the buttermilk pancakes. They come with ice cream and salted caramel and maple strawberry.
And cream egg thick shake we're doing at the moment, served inside an Easter egg.
Stop it.
Come on. Kylie, yum.
Oh, Kylie, I can hear the votes coming in at triplem.com.au right now. Whiskey business, that one is. Voting does close 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I know all the talk's been about Uber lately, but remember we had a chat late last year to a great friend of ours who's starting up an app, I'll let her explain. A great friend of ours, George McEncrow, used to be in your seat a long time ago, Robin.
I know, George. Hey, George.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, really good. No, so this is what you're doing. You've got a real job, finally.
Well, I don't know about that. It's a startup, and we have launched in Brisbane. We launched on the International Women's Day.
Tell everyone what it does, though, George. I've explained nothing.
All right, so Sheba is an app for women to drive other women and girls around town and boys up to the age of 12. And, it's going great guns. I can't believe it. So I had this idea when I went to become an Uber driver and just got a bit too scared to do it. So I thought I'm going to build the company that I could actually drive for myself comfortably.
Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving. I gave away a 55-minute trip for free, though, on Saturday night. Oh, it's hard.
What, charging people?
You're doing everything, like swiping on to pick up. Oh, I got all flustered. I was in the city. It was hot. There were drunk people on the street and cabs up my bum and Ubers everywhere and people. I was trying to find my passenger. Anyway, I got them in and then I forgot to swipe on the app so that I picked them up and I was loving myself sick, thinking, you beauty, this is a 55-minute trip, and then realised when I dropped them off that I hadn't started the fare. It's good because I'm driving and I know how it all works. And
so it's only women drivers, only women passengers.
Women and boys up to the age of 12.
What do you reckon, Robin?
I think it's absolutely necessary. So you're doing great guns in Brizzy?
Yeah, we're going great guns in Brizzy. We've got nearly 100 drivers now in Brizzy and the Gold Coast. Big shout out to the drivers on the Gold Coast. And it's just taking off. And the day we launched, we were trending number one in the App Store. and we're trending in the Play Store, and yeah, it's just, I can't believe it's actually happened. From
I can't either. You're usually so hopeless. Somehow you've put this together.
I couldn't send an email with an attachment, and now I'm working in IT and talking programming, and my learning curve, mate, has been vertical. I tell you, I have had to learn so much.
It's so good for the safety of girls, though.
Well, and the employment of women. I mean, it's always women coming in because they were like 4% of cab drivers and about 10% of Uber drivers, and now they're coming in. We've got like over 1,000 sitting in our production line of getting onboarded because they feel safe driving now at night because they've got girls in their car instead of three huge pissed blokes.
Very good. Okay, so how do we find you?
So it's sheba.com.au, and you can go to the App Store and download the app, passengersupport@sheba.com.au. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a booking page there.
Congratulations, George McEncrow. It's a fantastic initiative, and it's up and about. Sheba is spelled S-H-E-B-A-H. Get on board.
Correct.
Good on you, George. Thanks for your
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, guys.
See you, George. I've just downloaded it. It's now on my phone.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Cheers, love.
Good stuff. We've got a vamoose. Remember, triplem.com.au. Get voting for Brisbane's best weekend breakfast because that wraps up voting 8 o'clock tomorrow here on Brisbane's Triple M.